Please stand for the call of worship. Listen, the story of God is unfolding.
It's the story of Abraham and Sarah, of Moses and the Exodus.
It is the story of Jesus and his followers.
A story of sadness and hope, joy and pain.
It is my story. Listen, the story of God is unfolding. Turn to your neighbor and ask them what their favorite Bible story is.
You may now be seated. You may now be seated. We gather each week in our churches to worship God, whose stories we have read countless times or perhaps never before. Nonetheless, these stories from God's Word are so powerful that they slowly begin to inform and even transform our worldview. They penetrate our own personal experiences. As this happens, our faith stories emerge. Each story is unique and uniquely shaped by our Creator.
I was christened as a baby in the United Brethren Church in Hartford City, Indiana, in Blackford County. Garnita K. Fishback. I had a brother, Roger, who is 4 years older than I am, and when I was 1 year old, we got a baby brother, Richard. My family attended that church until we moved to Montpelier, Indiana. My brothers and I already attended school at Montpelier. I was in the third grade when we moved. We had been living on our grandma's farm until Mom and Dad bought a farm in Montpelier. We were closer to our school. Mom had been teaching fifth grade in the Portland Elementary School, but ended up getting a job teaching in Montpelier. And guess what? She was my fifth grade teacher. We continued to attend church and Sunday school at the Hartford City Church. Mom and Dad decided it would be better for us to go to church with kids from our school. So we began going to church at the Methodist Church in Montpelier. Several of my school friends were in my Sunday school class. When I was still in elementary school, I took the classes to become a member of the church. I think I was in the fifth grade. The next year, my little brother did the same thing. It seems that everyone in my family, our grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins, went to church somewhere. We were the only ones who lived near Montpelier. We continued as members of the Montpelier Methodist Church. When the Methodist Church merged with the United Brethren, I think I was already in high school. We all became the United Methodist Church. When I went off to Indiana University School of Music in Bloomington, I made some friends in my dorm that went to a huge Methodist church in downtown Bloomington. We walked from the campus to the church. It was a long walk. I always enjoyed the Sundays at the large Bloomington Church. Since I was taking organ lessons, I truly enjoyed listening to a professional organist play the pipe organ. What I really appreciated was the chance to worship God with a huge number of people who felt the same way. I know very few of them. I have to admit that I was not a regular church attendee during the rest of my college years. I seemed to use the weekend time studying and practicing the organ. After I graduated from IU with a music education degree, became a music teacher in Connersville, Indiana. My first year, I taught 7th and 8th grade classes. I came home on weekends, so I went to church with my parents again. They didn't have a class for young adults. The second year I was teaching, I had a chance to switch to elementary music instead of junior high. I enjoyed it a lot better than the junior high classes. I began to take classes to get a master's degree at Ball State University. I would take classes on Wednesday evenings and on Saturdays. In the meantime, I had begun to have dates with Ron Hess. Ron and I were married in 1968 when he was on a long break from the Air Force. A lot of years have passed since my college days. For a few years, Ron had a teaching job, and I could stay at home with our little kids, Arthur, Andrew, and Anna. When Anna was about 2 years old, I got a call from the Fayette County people that they needed another elementary music teacher. Would I be available? Would I come back? Even though we lived north of Fountain City and had three little kids, I took the job. I taught for a lot of years after that, and we regularly attended church at Chester Heights United Methodist Church, just north of Richmond. I played the organ nearly every Sunday. I knew that God was traveling with me every time I got in the van to drive to Connersville and back home again. Because of my job, we didn't have to wonder how we would pay the bills, get enough groceries, etc. I felt so blessed to have my job. After I retired, I began to get some payments from my pension I had saved over the years of teaching. Both of our sons and their families are faithful in worshiping God. One family lives in Michigan and the other in New Jersey. Our daughter is handicapped with the loss of most of her vision, probably due to the diabetes she has had since she was in the first grade. She and her husband live in Fountain City, and I'm so happy to be retired and able to help her if she needs something. She cannot drive anymore, and her husband has a job near Dayton, so my husband and I are available to help when she needs some. I thank God for all the blessings He has given me over my entire lifetime. When I am stressed, I can talk to Him. I try to be nice to everyone around me. I am blessed to have decent health for a lady my age. My father-in-law died several years ago. While he was so sick in the hospital, he was talking with a pastor at that time in his life. He accepted Jesus and became a Christian. I think that it's a shame he didn't do that earlier in his life and missed the experience of worshiping God regularly with other Christians. Yes, I'm happy to be a Christian and to have God in my life every day and every hour and every minute. I don't always think of Him and how He takes care of me, but I always know He will be with me throughout whatever may happen. Thank you.
What is your name?
Jack Hughes.
And what is your faith story?
Well, I think everybody probably has a different idea of what a faith story is and different paths of how they've gotten there. But as a child, we went to church, and that's where mine, I would say, began. And then, as the case with a lot of people, I kind of attended sporadically for quite a while. But God was always in my life, and God keeps calling us, and I want to say that's more of who I responded to, because there was a time in my life when I actually moved. I grew up in Wayne County, moved away, and then there was just this opportunity that came for me to come back to Richmond and teach at Richmond High School. And there were a lot of things that started falling into place pretty quickly, and I was doing some praying at the time, and I knew God was listening to me. Things fell in place very, very quickly, and I was able to come back, and I was able to take care of my parents as they started having some health issues, and that was something that I know God was calling me, and fortunately, I was listening at the time, and I was able to come back and help them, and they put me here in this church. Been one of those gradual journeys for me.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come."
We have heard witness of God taking the old, making new from the first set of faith stories. Today, we will hear several stories of God's power working in the lives of people. God has a story that not only he wants to share with you, but wants you to become a part of. He offers this opportunity to become part of his family, his beloved children, if we but ask him to write his story on our hearts.
We want to apologize about the videos. Between the three different churches, we've had lots of technological issues. Unfortunately, we have it as loud as it can go. So hopefully if we're all like super, super silent, we'll be able to hear. We apologize, and we absolutely would love to show it to you at a different time. If you want to hear specifically what one person says or what they all said, we'll make sure that we get those videos to you.
So the rhythm my heart keeps beating. They say you can give the blind their sight, and you can bring the dead to life. You can be the hope my soul's been seeking. I wanna tell you now that I believe it. I wanna tell you now that I believe it. I do, that you can make me new. Oh, I'm an empty page, I'm an open book. Write your story.
Are there any prayer requests this morning? No? Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us your love through your word to us. Thank you for a church that embraces the faith journey of young people. Guide us and help us long to grow in our walk with you. We now pray as your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you will please stand and join us in singing, we're going to sing I Love to Tell the Story this morning.
I love to tell the story.
our next song. If you would like to remain standing, you can, or you may sit. If this is a song that you may not all know, if you'd like to sing along, we would love that. If not, we'd appreciate if you just sat there in reflection. Hopefully we have the song and not the video. We'll see. I know.
Be a Christian.
All right, go ahead and sit for the video, and we will sing after, maybe. I don't know.
I lived that life for many, many years. I strayed from that life. I'm not proud of that, but, you know, I share it because maybe others are going through the very same thing. It was a period of many years that I thought I really didn't need to rely on God. I could do everything within my own strength and my own power, my own intelligence. And then life-changing things happen, and you realize your need, your extreme need for God. Not that we're, He gives us strength and abilities, but we need to rely on God. So at a late age of, I suppose, around 53 again, I renewed my commitment, and here I am today at Central United, and not always living a life of total victory, but wow, is it a wonderful life to be a Christian. You never know what God's got planned for us if we'll just commit. And one of the importance is just continually keeping fresh your relationship and your testimony and your relationship with God. So that's my faith story. It's just, I was raised in a family. We believed in God totally. We were in church every Wednesday night, Sunday nights, revival nights, youth meetings, weekend conferences, whatever. We were raised in the church, and I was part of that. I'm so grateful for parents who taught me right from wrong, yes from no, do's from don'ts. Just so grateful. I've been so blessed, and that's what I want people to know, that this is not, being a Christian is not a life of being downtrodden or, you know, hush-hush. It's something to celebrate and to share and to just wake up every morning excited what God's got planned for you, if we just say yes. That's it.
So what is your name?
My name is Nicole Andre.
Can you please tell us your faith story?
My faith story. So like how I came to faith? Okay. Well, I grew up in the church, so I don't really have a memory of not attending church. Although, just like everyone else, when I got to those high school, college years, it was a little harder to get there on my own. But I remember, I was in first grade, I think. My mom was talking to me about the wordless book. And if you're not familiar with that, it's just using colors to represent the different transitions of our relationship to God and to Christ. And that made sense to me. And I think it was that morning, so it was on the way to church, because we used to live out in the country, and then it was a long way into church, so my mom was talking about on the way into church, and then it happened to be in Sunday school that our Sunday school teacher was talking about accepting Jesus as your Savior, so I prayed that day, and accepted Jesus as my Savior, but, like I said, I was like first grade kindergarten, so it's, my faith story, I think, has really been, it's developed more as I've gotten older, which obviously makes sense. Like, we develop as our brain develops, our bodies develop, like, everything just develops more as we get older. And I think one of the things that I have learned the most is that just not being afraid to ask questions. Because I think a lot of times when we're little, especially in school, we have to have the right answer. And even in Sunday school, we feel like we have to have the right answer. But I think my faith is more of a relationship with God, in a relationship of understanding God and God's creation, which is the world and people, and so just like this constant dialogue would be, I think, a better way to describe like my current faith story, I guess, is just taking life as it comes and seeing how that relates to my relationship with God.
Thank you.
Please tell me your name.
My name is Mary Alice Ulser.
And please tell us your faith story.
Okay. Actually, my faith story started when I met my mother-in-law, which is my husband's mother. She was a wonderful Christian woman, and she loved the Lord, and she shared that with me. What a blessing that was for me. She gave me a study Bible. She prayed for me. She shared her faith, which indirectly helped me want to know more about Jesus. And so I began to study the Bible. I began to get into Bible studies and to learn more about this man called Jesus. When I was 27 years old, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was actually baptized at that time, and my oldest two sons were baptized. They were little at the time. And from there, I began the journey and the walk with Christ to learn more about what God had called me to do in learning about Jesus and knowing who Jesus was. I'm so thankful for my mother-in-law who prayed for me and for her constant love of God that she wanted me to know Jesus. And so I continue my journey and hope that I am doing what God has called me to do.
Would you please tell us your name?
Austin Shadle.
And would you tell us your faith story?
Sure. Well, it would take me way too long to tell you my entire faith story, but I think just to give you a snapshot, I'll start up when I was at Purdue in college, and I was on the cheerleading team, co-ed cheerleading team. And before we would start practices once in a while, our coach would have us split up into pairs, and he would give us a topic to talk about between the two of us, usually something that was aimed towards getting to know our teammates better and team building. And one of the questions one day was, who on the squad do you admire the most and why? And my partner said, Randy Glanton. And I heard all these other people around say, Randy, Randy, Randy. And I got immediately angry with that answer. I remember just being so angry because I knew why people were saying Randy. There was something different about Randy. I knew he was a Christian. And something just oozed out of him, just a confidence, a joy, no matter what he was facing, relationship-wise, no matter what he was facing as far as failing in school, difficulty at home, no matter what it was, I just knew he had this joy about him. And I was a Christian, but I was really rebelling against living as a Christian. I was really living for myself at that time. My main goals in life were just to be accepted by other people, to fit in. And, it was maybe more about fitting in than really living for Christ. Randy was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and he invited me several times, but after nagging me for a long time, I finally went to something called Fall Retreat that Campus Crusade was putting on. And the main speaker that day, that weekend, was Roger Hershey. And he spoke about why follow Christ. His sort of main message of why follow Christ was that the 4 years we were spending in college were going to vastly impact our lives for the next 40 years. And if we are living for ourselves, no matter how we were going to live our lives, again, that was just going to greatly impact the next 40 years of our lives. And we should really consider following Christ. And I realized that weekend I was really convicted that I knew Christ. I'd made that head decision or that intellectual decision that I wanted to accepted Jesus as my Savior. But I hadn't really been ever challenged with following him. And so really at that point I realized that living for myself, I had really wrecked my life in a lot of ways. My grades were suffering. Drake, you're interviewing me. I've never really even told you about this, but I woke up one morning in the emergency room, almost drank myself to death. So we were just, my life was in shambles in a lot of ways, and I knew that I just needed to hand it over to Jesus and really live for him. And that really was when you give your life over to Christ, there's always part of that story where you say, well, my life was wrecked, and then Jesus came into my life and he put the pieces together. And that's true, but also true that there's a lot of great things about living for yourself. And in some ways, Jesus comes along and he wrecks your life, but in an awesome way. And so the things that were important to you before maybe become less important. Your goals just kind of get turned on their head, but it's definitely been an awesome experience. Not that I've had a perfect life since then, but I'm so glad and thankful for Randy and for people that God put into my life and pursued me.
Many of you know the verse I'm about to read today. Today I will read it from the Message version in order to provide a fresh perspective. John 3:16 through 18 states, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in this one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him."
That is the whole gospel summed up in one verse. God wants to write the story on your heart. We each have a personal story, a history in unfolding. This church has another story, its own history and personality. God's word is screaming to us. That is what his story, that it wants his story to become the story. In order to locate ourselves in history, we must put reason in its proper position and allow faith to take its rightful place. We have to look at the world with our Jesus glasses on and allow the vision, that vision to become our vision. We must long to sit at his feet and hear his stories. We must allow the hearing of those stories to bring us into the story and not merely remain as observers.
This is the story of God through his word to us as quickly as possible. In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He makes Adam and Eve, who spend their days with God. Until they give in to temptation and eat from a forbidden tree. Sin enters the world, and things get so bad that God floods the earth. And starts over with Noah and his family. Years later, God calls Abraham to follow him with a promise to make Abraham a great nation. Abraham obeys, and God gives him a son, Isaac. Isaac's son, Jacob, has 12 sons. Joseph, Jacob's favorite, becomes second in command of Egypt. God uses him as he forgives his brothers and saves their family and all of Egypt from starvation. Hundreds of years later, the Israelites are now slaves in Egypt. Moses is called to deliver them. Joshua takes over after Moses and eventually leads the people into the Promised Land. After Joshua, God raises up judges, temporary military leaders, like Deborah, Gideon, and Samson. They protect and fight for God's people. But the people tire of this leadership and beg for a king. God gives them a series of kings, like Saul, David, and Solomon. But it all goes downhill from there. The people continue to rebel, and the kingdom of Israel is divided into two nations. They all turn their backs on God and the covenant he made with them. Prophets like Elijah, Isaiah, Micah, and Jeremiah preach warnings from God that if the people do not repent of their idolatrous sins, there will be consequences for their actions. But the people ignore the warnings. The divided kingdoms become conquered, and the people are dispersed into captivity into foreign lands. People like Daniel show great courage and stand up for God when no one else does. Some of the exiled peoples are able to return to the Promised Land. But for 400 years, God is silent. No prophets, no miracles, and no angel visitations. But then the silence is broken when Jesus is born. He lives a perfect life, preaches truth, and performs miracles, proving that he is God. He shows us the full extent of God's love by taking our place and dying on the cross for our sin. He is placed in a grave. But 3 days later, rises again, conquering sin and death forever. His followers travel the world, sharing the good news of his love and starting churches. As time passed, we all became part of this story. We now have a chance to share his love and hope for the redemption of all people, because one day, when we are completely unaware, he will crack open the sky and return for his people. Will we be ready?
Thank you. feels alright to see your name tonight. We all need an ad boy or ad girl, but in the end I'd like to hang my hat on more besides the temporary trappings of this world. Wanna leave a legacy? How will they remember me? Did I choose to love? Did I point to you and come to make a mark on things? Wanna leave an offering? Child of mercy and grace, who blessed your name? Too far or too low, wow, to make a lengthy list of all that I enjoy. It's an accumulating trinket and a treasure pile of moths and rust, thieves and such will soon enough destroy. Wanna leave a legacy? How will they remember me? Did I choose to love? Did I point to you? Enough to make a mark on things. Wanna leave an offering? Child of mercy and grace, who blessed your name? Unapologetic name. Leave that kind of legacy. Not well traveled, not well read. Not well to do or well bred. Just wanna hear instead, well done, good and faithful one.
Two suicide attempts, countless vain attempts of trying to get sober, but not really wanting to because I knew I was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and I accepted it that for that, what it was. In 2013, my last blackout, my last drunk, I was facing a 2-year prison stint for a crime that I was in a blackout that I didn't even know that I had done, and it was a felony. So I was facing 2 years in prison. I had been homeless for like 15 years, and I had just gotten out of a detox, and a rehab and treatment center again. That was my 33rd time I've been into the stabilization crisis unit because I was depressed, and I've been in a detox unit 12 times. And I was just sitting there one day, and I had a can of beer in my hand, and I said, something came over me, and a thought entered my mind, and I said, I'm going to die a drug addict and an alcoholic out here on these streets. And at that time, a moment of clarity came to me. I was sleeping on my church property that I went to, St. Paul's United Methodist, down there in Melbourne, Florida. And people had been praying for me for years. And I went across the street, and I made a phone call and to the detox unit with the staff that I knew there. On countless made attempts to get sober. Glad they accepted me. They said I had to wait 3 weeks before I could get a bed, and I couldn't go back to being homeless after the 28-day program because I'd go back to doing what I do, which is drinking and drug. And she made arrangements for me to get going to a halfway house. So I had to wait 3 weeks, and I kind of like had a deal with God. It's like, okay, for these next 3 weeks, I'm going to do what I do, but on August 5th, when I go into treatment center, I'm done. And it was a stipulation anyway of my probation that I was going to go to a treatment center, but since I found that one, he was okay with it. And he had never, on August 5th that morning, I still had money left over. I got up being the alcoholic that I was. I drank beer that morning, and I had smoked crack that weekend. And my probation officer said that I had to do a drug test for him before I could go into my treatment center. And being that, with that being said, I knew that I was going to be dirty. So when he drug tested me, I told him that it was going to be dirty because I'd smoked crack cocaine that Saturday. And he thanked me for being honest with him. And he told me that if he wanted to violate me and send me to prison, he could do it for the alcohol that I smelled on, that he smelled on my breath. And he told me to get out of his office and go to rehab and call him when I get there. So I call that divine intervention because God had opened the door for me to get into the rehab, to get into the treatment, to get into a halfway house. And instead of going to prison, he sent me to detox. I was fully aware of the stuff that I had to do as far as the 12 steps of AA. And I worked my program. I've got a sponsor. I stay active in my recovery. But I give all the glory to God because God did for me what I didn't do for myself, and that was stopping drinking and drugging. I was the hopeless drunk and a crackhead. But August 6th of this year, 2018, I'll be clean and sober for 5 years. And I give all the power and the glory and the praise to God. And I ask Him every day to keep me sober another day. I'm a member of Brianna's Hope, which is a faith-based recovery program here at Central United. And I also attend AA meetings here at Central United regularly on Wednesday nights. I try to help the other alcoholics and addicts that are still suffering because I've been given the gift of sobriety. I don't know what God's will for me is in my life each and every day, but I pray for it. But I know it's not to put a drink or a drug in my body. If I do that, then it's like spitting in God's face saying, thank you for the gift, but I don't want it. And I never have to go back to living that way as long as I continue with the gift that I've been given.
Thank you.
Can you share with us your name?
My name is Ron Itnayer. And I've been thinking about this for the last week since the question was posed to me. And it really traces back to Sunday school in my local rural church in Northern Illinois. And service. I remember doing a lot of service with the church, both on a regular basis on Sundays, but also our church had an annual spaghetti supper that was a fundraiser and service for the community. And I remember at an early age picking up trays and taking pies to people and these things. And it just fits in with the whole point of church being about fellowship. For me, in service to our fellow humans, that carried through. I attended the same small church for years, and then went to University of Illinois and started attending the Methodist Church there on campus. And the church was a and there was a student-oriented student. Foundation, Wesley Foundation, was a really important part of my faith journey at the University of Illinois, particularly in grad school. And it was about the time that my father was getting sicker and from cancer, and I needed found people that could be supportive of the trial that I was going through. And actually, that's where I met Elisa. Growth, a lot of development. So, as a shout out, supporting college foundations is a very important part of giving back and giving to the next generation of faithful Methodists. again, service, fellowship with people.
Why won't God speak more clearly to me? Many of us wonder. Oh, but He is. He is always speaking to us through everything, everywhere. And He's given us this book, telling us the story of who we are and the enormous lengths He's been willing to go through to bring us back home.
Slow down and look around you. God is calling you all the time. If we are tuned to His voice by getting to know Him better, we will always hear His call on our lives. Once we embrace His story as ours and begin to follow His call, we will proclaim 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 with our every movement. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Are you listening to His story? Are you allowing it to bring you into the light and inform you of who you really are and what He desires for you to become?
Please tell us your name.
My name is Carrie Holt.
And Carrie, what is your faith story?
My faith story began when I was about 12 and I went to a camp, a group youth retreat, and I felt called to confess my sins to Jesus Christ at that camp, and it was the best weekend of my life. It changed my life completely in the direction I was going in, and I'm so happy.
Thank you.
What is your name and what is your faith story?
My name is Frank Monroe. My faith story started a long, long time ago. I was in a Baptist church. And when I was 16 years old, I went to the Methodist Church because that's where May went. And when we got married, we stayed in the Methodist Church. And I've been a Methodist ever since. I'm glad of that. But I'm more glad that I've all the people that I've met in the Baptist Church, or in the Methodist Church, and the people that have surrounded me, supported me, and I've been able to be friends with. Some I've been able to help, some I've encouraged, but most of all, those people have encouraged me and given me an opportunity to serve in many different ways, in the church and outside the church. But mainly, I appreciate and enjoy, and my faith story, the main thing that they've helped me with is knowing more about God. He lives. I have also appreciated the opportunity to be a prayer partner with some of the youth in the church, because not only am I praying for them, but I know they're praying for me. And it's helped me a lot, especially in the last year since I've been struggling with my health to get it back to where I want to be. I know that I've got lots and lots and lots of people that have been praying for me, and that really helps me. So reading the Bible, having devotions on a daily basis, sometimes it lasts 5 minutes, sometimes 15, sometimes a half an hour. If I think of something that I really need to pray about or someone that I need to pray about, I can really spend a lot of time in prayer. So I appreciate my faith story. My faith has also been strengthened by people like you and other of the youth that are in your age group, a little bit older, that I've been able to support and be around. I just enjoy seeing them involved in the church and all the different things that they do and the ways that they help people. So I could go on and on, Mason. I could talk for a long time about what my faith story is and how it has helped me to grow and how it's helped me to overcome hardships and how it's helped me to realize that God is the ultimate power in my life and in the lives of many, many people that I've come to know. And that really means a lot.
You mentioned May switching over. Who is May?
That's my wife.
His story can become your story. How? By allowing his story to transform us to the new creations he has involved all along. Romans 12, 1-2 appeals to us. Present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This is a story we share together. The faith stories we have heard this morning share this common ground. Jesus has transformed their lives to something beautiful, and he longs to do that in you.
We have heard some powerful stories of that transformative love today. The stories that belong to individuals become a part of our community stories, but ultimately these all weave into the great story of God. His story of creation, fall, redemption, and new creation is one we need to read, recite, and hear often. It is a story of God's faithfulness and goodness, and because we know the author of the story personally, and we can trust in his promises, we can watch the story of our lives unfold with wonder and awe.
Even when we face a scene in our own story that seems confusing or out of place, we can remember, wait, and watch, knowing that the storyline is moving forward to a beautiful and glorious end. Jesus made it so when he signed the manuscript with his own blood and said, "It is finished." Turn to your neighbor and tell them with joy, "It is finished." Go now and live the story.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I wanted to make a quick note. We had a young man who was running our technology, and he was unable to be here today. He had to have a minor surgical procedure yesterday as an emergency. And him and his father, I would guess, spent 20-plus hours putting this presentation together for us. Every church had a different system. We deeply apologize that the sound was not great on some of them. I just walked up to Amanda and I said, "Still believe in spiritual warfare?" Because I really believe that we fight not against the rulers of this world, but against powers that are beyond us. And somebody didn't want the stories of Jesus changing people's lives shared in these three churches. And praise the Lord that he overcame by sharing it through our youth. And hopefully you heard some of the lives changed this morning. So thank you.
Thank you.